host Lily Mensa Yeboah, and my guest today is the woman of the moment, Mirella Sulla, author of Don't Let Your Mind Go and editor-in-chief of Migrant Woman magazine. Mirella is our first published author to join the show. Hey Mirella, thank you so much for joining us, and how are you today?
Hi, thank you very much, thank you. I'm fine, and you?
I'm great, and the weather is fantastic out there. Listen, let's all hear about a bit about Mirella. A respected journalist and author, Mirella specializes in positive psychology and family therapy, has written volumes on these issues in Albania and more recently in the UK. She's a global force in sharing the trials and successes of the migrant woman. She's working on her PhD in psychotherapy at Regent's University in London and has launched her bestseller called Don't Let Your Mind Go. Tea with Lily is a space for informal discussion with a relaxed format where we chat about topical issues over a cup of tea. Guests from all walks of life join us to share their experiences and provide tips and tricks with professionals and entrepreneurs who are interested in personal and career growth. Welcome, listeners, and thank you so much for tuning in. Now, back to you, Mirella. What a week you've had. The overwhelmingly successful launch of Migrant Woman magazine and Don't Let Your Mind Go all in one day. How does that make you feel, and what is it like to walk in your shoes right now?
Yeah. Of course, I have to say that it has happened for a reason. It was I was inspired from a communication with Norman. I had in mind to do a launch for the magazine and for the book, but I thought maybe during the summer people are away, not the right time. But for me, it's the right time when you feel it that is within.
Can you remind our listeners who Norman is?
Yes, I'm coming back to this point. Norman Rosenthal is a very famous author and psychiatrist from America, and a very good friend of mine.
Great.
He has endorsed my book.
I know.
And he has given me the first interview mm-hmm. for the first edition of the magazine. You know, to prepare the edition of the magazine has been the biggest for me, because I was in a new country, not having enough network to connect with people.
And you're not having enough network?
But for the magazine, you know, it's much bigger. You know, yeah. I knew a lot of friends, new friends in this country.
Yes.
But when you want to do something quality, good standard, you connect with the right people.
Absolutely.
And I really consider myself very lucky that I have the trust people. Because when you start something new, people want to see the example.
Yes.
You are inviting someone to give an interview, but where? They want to see where the interview is going to be published. Mm. And to be honest, I couldn't imagine to have in my first publication names like Norman Rosenthal, Judy Piatkus, Sarah Alexander, and other names that they are, you know, they
formidable
have name. Done a big investment in their career and
yes.
their profession. And when they give interviews, they want to know what is the audience. And I had no audience.
You do now.
So I really appreciate the trust of these lovely friends' education. Norman was one of them. And when he told me that he's coming in London he invited me to have a lunch with him on the 24th of July, I said, are you coming in London? Let's do something bigger than not just a lunch, but a launch.
Wow.
It came immediately in the first second that I communicated with him. Mm-hmm. In my mind was, yes, I have been thinking to launch the magazine and my book. Norman is coming. He's has endorsed my book. He's a blessing person. I needed someone like him to bless the event.
Yes.
And this is what happened. But the problem was that I had only 1 month time.
Yes.
And when I invited my team, I said, look, I have been thinking to organize this event and I want your support. I said, you can't do this, because in 1 month time, you are not in Albania here, you are in London, you can't.
And why not?
Organize things like this. But I said, yes, I'm going to try. And I think I always have had this good experience from events, so I'm not letting myself down.
Absolutely.
So, and happened, and I brought together a book and the magazine, but I wanted also to celebrate for Norman's book as well.
Yes.
Because Norman's book is a fantastic book. Mm-hmm. The Gift of Adversity.
Yes, yes.
I think is a fantastic connection yes. with migrant women.
Absolutely.
And when we discussed together with Norman about the angle that we had to find mm-hmm. in order to make it relevant, we found a lot of points
exactly.
and common things that were very relevant for the magazine and for the event.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I can't say that everything I have done has been wonderful or has been great. And you know, sometimes when I discuss with my British friends, they say, they have an expression, I'm okay, but I'm not great. I said, why you need to be great? If you are okay, you are okay. That's enough. So I have to say that there have been some moments of my life that haven't been great.
You haven't been great.
But it's great to be okay as well.
Yeah, okay.
So,
and how are you feeling today? Are you okay or are you great?
I don't have high expectations about what's going to happen in every single day of my life, because I just want to go with the flow.
Yes.
Just to, you know, my mantra is let it go what is going and let it come what is coming.
Yeah. So, that's a good one.
Yeah. Talking about the connection between media and the mind.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, it's a good topic because media is a big
huge,
topic to talk
yeah.
about it, and mind, yeah. of course. But yeah, sure, there is a connection because
you're able to tell the stories that you come up with, if in a way, I guess.
If I talk about mind, I have to say that the mind is the screen, the biggest tools that we have to see our platforms, to see ourselves, and to create a picture of ourselves.
Yes.
Maybe there is an analogy between media and mind,
yes.
because with the mind, I always have my own media.
Yes.
My mind is my TV where I perform in different ways. And this is what I have realized since ever, you know. And it's like you create this platform and you start to play with the imagination. You
yes.
start to create your channels.
Yes.
And you start to build it and to believe in it. And
yes.
once you feel that you are fulfilled,
mm-hmm.
then you want to develop it and to share it. And once you create your channels, okay, I am confident enough, so I'm going to share with other people, like you are doing with your radio.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it comes a time that you feel grown.
Yes.
And confident, and in a certain point that
you want to share
you feel
other
that, people. Yeah, it's the right moment now.
Yeah. So, Mirella, this is a big one. Imagine that you're sitting in front of your careers officer as a 16-year-old girl. And you're about to leave school. So, looking back, what would you have said to your careers officer as to what you wanted to be when you grew up?
to be honest, I always knew what I'm going to do.
Wow. And what was that, I mean, in a nutshell?
I remember I was in a village, in a very small village,
mm-hmm.
and my mother used to complain about me all the time. Life is not only books. Leave that book away. Come and do some, you know, washing and cleaning. And
yeah.
And most of the time they used to tell me that this is not life, what you are doing. And
life is
they
not
used
in the books.
To joke, yeah. They used to do jokes with me and saying that when I used to say to them that, look, this book will change my life, and I'm not going to live in ignorance for a long time.
Yes,
these books are opening new chapters for me.
Yes. So based on, I mean, talking about the TV in your life, if you're having a bad day, you just imagine that TV, and you will be on that TV doing something fabulous, I guess.
I was enjoying myself as a in the both places.
Yes.
Sometimes I imagine myself being the actor, and sometimes I was just sitting and watching the movie.
Or sometimes the director.
You know, at that time, to be honest, I would have loved to be a director, but I knew that I have nothing in my hand to write the scenario or to to lead my life. I knew that I'm not able to do that, but in the future I was sure that I was going to be the owner of my story.
Yes.
At that time my story was like a mess because other people were writing
it for you.
So yeah. And I didn't like it. I used to tell them, look, this story is not a good story. Can you change it? But because I used to complain, I was like a big fighter.
Mm-hmm.
I most of the time I found myself being punished. Said, okay.
To dream? Yes, I mean, I can believe that.
So I knew that, okay, you don't believe that this is a bad story, you can do it better, but okay, this is the way you see. But
what motivated you to write this particular book, Don't Let Your Mind Go, and why, you know, why?
You counted 16, but to be honest, most of the books are books of...
I think it's 16 publications, including...
Yeah. And they have been successful, by the way. But big was stirring within me.
Mm-hmm.
And because I have a strong, you know, resilience,
mm-hmm.
I was trying to press it. I said, stay there. what's going on? And one day I said, okay, I'm going to listen to this voice that is trying to tell me something.
And one day
I said, okay, what's the matter? Why you are disturbing me? Mm-hmm. I'm very busy. I'm doing my life very good. I'm succeeding. I'm this different person now from the village. I'm in a capital city. I'm doing all these kind of things. Why you are disturbing me? And this voice was just beating me all the time that something was wrong. And one day I sat down and said, come on, tell me what I have to do, what's wrong? You are not still happy. I'm doing this and this and this and still not happy with me. The problem was it's nothing to do what you are doing, but how you are feeling. And my problem was that what I was doing, what I was feeling, and what I was thinking was not resonating.
I love Hay House, and I personally listen to it almost every day when I'm working. And you know, publishing with Hay House is a phenomenal achievement. How did that come about, and what tips would you have for budding authors?
You know, I have, and the biggest authors that I was reading every day had this signature, Hay House. And I started to explore what Hay House does and how can I reach them. And what they do is really very lovely.
I love it.
Wonderful.
I love Hay House.
And one day I saw that there was a big seminar happening in London. It was only one weekend, £300. For me, as a student in a new country, for 2 days, £300, and that time I had no job because I was still enjoying London without working. So I'm going. To be honest, I applied in different publishing house in London, very small publishing house. I never got a response.
Yeah.
And one day I called my friend Ken Gorman and said, I think there is something wrong with my book, because at least I have to have an answer.
Yes.
Can you read my book if it is
And this is the Don't Let Your Mind Go, this one.
I had some doubts in English language, maybe, or I don't know, maybe internationally is not good enough level to understand. And when Ken read the book, I was amazed. We didn't talk about the house, he didn't know about my thoughts and my projects. And when once he read the book, said, Mirella, this is a fantastic book. I think this is a book for Hay House. I said, come on, I have been thinking about it, but because I have applied to different publishing house, I think it might be very difficult to
try Hay House.
Try it. I'm
you've got nothing to lose.
Try it. I said, yes, I always in my life had used this formula.
The worst that can happen is that they'll say no. If you come from that premise,
exactly.
It might be a maybe, or better still, it will be a yes. So just do it.
Yeah, that's very true. You know how many opportunities we lose in life only because we don't try?
Oh, yes.
And we don't try because we think we are not good enough. We think we are not going to win. We are not going to be selected. They are never going to respond to us. But my experience has told that if you try, if you have a question, you definitely will have an answer.
Yes.
So maybe you might try 1, 2, 3 times, but one day you'll get it.
Somebody's going to say
you
yes.
Have to be persistent.
Persistent, yeah. Persistence. Okay, I'm going to go deep, dig deep, a bit deeper into the book itself. Now, it says here, everything comes and goes, but don't let your mind go. This is on, listeners, this is on page 47, which is where it says, seek happiness now. What are some of the things that can stop the mind from going when we are faced with, you know, some of the most awful things, such as death, you know, death as in a loved one, or death of a relationship, or even a job? In terms of that, could you give us some examples of what we can do?
You know, I've met a lot of people in a very difficult part of their life, and they experience something that is very bad, and they don't do nothing to move from that place. I think we are humans and we experience things that are very difficult, painful, hurtful. So that's normal. I can't pretend that all our life is going to be beautiful, lovely, wonderful.
Yes.
You know, what I'm trying to say with this is that people stuck on their painful stories and they think that this is their destination. No, this is not a destination. This is just a short term of their journey.
Yes.
So we can move. We have to move.
Yes.
We have to...
You have to keep moving.
Absolutely. It's like... you know, you are, we are like birds.
Yes.
That's why I love this term of migration.
Yes.
Then you have to buy a new
one.
But
you can't, one thing you can't insure is your mind.
Yes. That's why the mind is the only thing that it's really very important to not let it go.
Yes.
Let it go. If you lose your house, let it go.
Yeah.
Let it go. Mm. If you lose your friend, let it go, he will come back again. If it's your friend, will come back again.
Absolutely.
Or if you lose your beloved people,
yes,
you have to let them go because you can't.
You can't force people to stay.
Exactly. Or even if they pass away, you can't bring them back.
Yes.
You of course, you live with their memories.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't do nothing, you can't control it.
Yeah.
The only thing that we can't control is our mind. This is our property.
Yes. Now, Mirella, thank you so much for explaining how the mind works. Chapter 2 in Don't Let Your Mind Go says, let's fight with our hearts for the things we want. And this is on page 30. That's pretty good advice. And most of us are afraid of what we might find on the other side, so we stay where we are. When faced with such a situation with your clients, you know, how would you approach a situation where the person is being a tree?
Yeah, that's a very good analogy. You know, to be honest, I have to tell you that this sentence is a sentence I don't remember where I read, but this made me to move.
I've heard that one.
Made me reflect so deep and said, yeah, I'm not a tree. If I don't like the place I am,
move.
I can move from the place I am to the place I want to be.
Yes.
And I just had a strong belief that this is possible, because a lot of people, they read things and they think, okay, these are only writings. This is just theory.
No, it's
but
not.
But everything starts from the mind.
Yes.
Things happen 2 times in life.
Oh, really?
One time happens in our mind, and the other time happens in the reality.
Yes.
But it can't happen in the reality without happening in our mind.
Yes.
Because even if it happens, you are not aware about it and you let it go. You just have to follow the intuition.
Yes.
And to me, intuition is very important.
It's indeed.
Intuition that never let you down, never tells you the wrong direction.
I mean, I remember earlier in the discussion or in our chat, you mentioned that there was something that was pushing you and knocking. Basically, I just think that your intuition is one of those things that when you feel it and it's telling you something, if you ignore it, the noise gets louder and louder and louder until it starts to drive you crazy. I mean, I've had that before. And then I've gone back and I've thought, why didn't I listen to my intuition 6 months ago when it was telling me that something was not quite right? and I needed to move. But sometimes we're just, we just become trees and we just stay stuck because we think, oh, we've built a foundation here and therefore the tree will grow and flourish and do other things. Chapter 14, an act of love for oneself. We're nearly there. The story, I was moved by the story of Clara, the 44-year-old female, which is actually not unique. She says she tried to change herself to accommodate her husband. How often have you seen this in your therapy sessions and actually outside of where we think we can change ourselves to accommodate another person so they will love us better?
This is a very common thing in my culture, in my country. I think in different countries as well.
I think I'd like to think it's
everywhere.
It's everywhere. It's not just in your culture.
But to be married. Yeah. I remember my mother used to mention this all the time to me. You have to behave well, to do all these duties, otherwise how you are going to find a husband? Only when you get married or when you...
Yes, I think there's a saying in my culture where it says, happy yourself.
Exactly. I think this is a very big issue
and
all the
yourself.
People are aware about it. But what people were not aware in my country is another big issue. I started to be aware that yes, there should be within.
Yes.
But what to me was that... Other cultures, I think, exist as well. Once you are married, you have to end your journey same person, no matter how this journey is.
Okay.
And when I got married, for example, I thought, okay, this is my destiny, good or bad, yourself be lucky, and that's it, because you can't control it.
But I suppose, you know, culturally, yours is not dissimilar to mine, in that you may marry somebody, but you're also married to their family and vice versa. It's not a union just for you.
It's the whole family.
Even the whole village.
Yeah, and especially in small countries.
Yes.
And because everyone knows everyone.
Indeed. And, you know, you can't just say, I don't want to be married anymore, because it'll bring disgrace to the family and all sorts of things. There was one final thing that I wanted to take from the book, and you don't have to answer that if you don't want to, but I read somewhere that in your culture, a woman has to wash their husband. I mean, I was reading this over my breakfast and I nearly choked on my porridge. But does a husband,
I was rebellious all the time.
Does a husband wash the wife's feet?
At that time, yes. I had to wash... No.
The man doesn't wash them.
No, the man, not the man. The wife had the duty to wash her man's feet.
But the
not vice versa.
This
was something that I never liked it, but it has happened. What I did all the time was praying and saying, once I will grow up, I will never allow this happening that I know.
Yes.
And I will fight to raise the boys. I just knew that this is not right. There were a lot of things that were not right in my country. Something that I really had to fight against it.
I mean, I've heard some stories that I know, but this was the one that stood out for me and I thought, wow. Anyway, hi listeners, this is Tea with Lily and I'm here with Mirella Sulla, author of Don't Let Your Mind Go and editor-in-chief of Migrant Women magazine. We have a few more questions, Mirella, and I'll just go, but we've finished with the book or talked about the book. I mean, you're working towards your doctorate degree, Regent University. When can we expect to call you Dr. Mirella?
Oh, we had a chat before I told you. Sometimes I forget why I'm here.
But it's going to be soon, and, you know, in my mind, you're Dr. Mirella, because you know so much about the mind, and whether you actually get that piece of paper or not, doesn't matter
for me. The good news is that I love the topic. I'm writing a topic about migrant women that is related to domestic violence as well. And all I love is that everything I do, I work, I'm running this magazine that is raising issues of migrant women, and I connected these topics together. And my topic, my PhD topic, is that of migrant women that are domestic violence.
Ah.
So in my mind is a big scenario that I want to write in a different angle.
Yes.
Because I belong to this.
Yes.
I come from a country that in a very high level.
Mm-hmm.
And I told you domestic violence happens everywhere.
Yes, indeed.
I have been witness of domestic violence.
I can imagine.
I'm migrant myself, and I always have been involved on women's issues and women's rights, and I wanted to do. The good news is, yeah, I have the passion to write it. The topic sounds very good to my supervisors.
Yes.
So, PhD is not just having fun.
No.
I've seen you have to sit down.
I've seen your and books and piles of your books, and I think, oh my God, how does she fit it all in? That's great, Mirella. I mean, the magazine Migrant Woman grows and continues to grow. Are we likely to see it on the shelves of W.A. Smith, or can we get a yearly subscription from Amazon?
Definitely, my answer is yes. Don't ask me how you are going to do it
soon,
but my vision is very big, and
good.
The magazine is going to be a global project, and
great.
It's going to be a big impact on women's life everywhere they are, in every corner of the globe.
Yes, that is fantastic. I mean, you appear to have conquered Albania, you're conquering the UK with your brand of, you know, feel-good personality, Mirella. What is next for you?
I think everyone is what he thinks, what she thinks.
Yes.
And of course that I'm trying to play with my thoughts and imagination, believe
you're
that
the only
everything
one that can
is
do
possible.
That.
Mm. And I truly believe that there are no limitations of what person wants to achieve if we put the passion and the energy and the beliefs, and we are persistent and don't give up, then nothing is going to prevent us to achieve it. So yes, I have to accept that yes, my vision is very big and global, but it's not like a magical thing.
Yes.
You have to follow the rules.
Follow the rules,
because nothing happens only because you imagine, or it's only the first step.
Yes.
You have to work hard and to do plans and to prepare yourself to give away from something.
Yes.
Interacting with people, go and meet someone and learn every day. Learning is the most enjoyable thing in life for me.
Great. I mean, It's formidable, and you've been so kind with your time with us. And so, Mirella, I certainly agree with Dr. Hendrick's comment on your book, and I quote, "It's filled with pearls of wisdom and laced with stories that make the pearls shine," unquote. Thanks once again for your time with us on the sofa and sharing your experiences with us. I hope you'll come and visit soon. If you have any questions for Mirella, please go to migrantwoman.com or contact me at lilyyeboah@gmail.com, and I'll be happy to pass a message on. Tune in again for the next episode of Tea with Lily. My guest on the sofa will be career expert, coach and mentor, Julian Childs. What Julian doesn't know about career coaching is probably not worth knowing. If you or anyone you know is in a bit of a quandary about where the next gig will be, you won't want to miss this episode with Julian Childs. I'm your host, Lily Yeboah, and until next time, keep smiling and always walk good.